BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're like most individuals, you're left wondering, how can you possibly get more accomplished in your already busy life? You think of job responsibilities, home responsibilities, perhaps you've got children involved in sports, maybe you're active in church ministry, you know the cliche, there are places to go, people to see. But today we're going to ask you to pause and not think about your personal schedules and the to-do list that seems to never get done anyways. But rather, we're going to focus today on our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted on account of their faith. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Church of Colossae, as reported in Colossians 4:18, "Remember my bonds." Also, the writer of Hebrews wrote, as recorded in Hebrews 13:3, "Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body." Did you know that this coming Sunday, November 3rd, is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church? And that's our focus today as we welcome back to Crosstalk Todd Nettleton. Todd is the Chief of Media Relations and Message Integration with Voice of the Martyrs. He's a host of the Voice of the Martyrs broadcast. He's served some 20 years plus with VOM, where he's traveled to many nations. He's interviewed hundreds of Christians who have endured persecution. He's also part of the writing team for some of the books that they've put out. Todd, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Thank you very much. It's always good to be with you.
This topic of Christian persecution is happening in so many places around the world, and yet, Todd, it seems like it's a hard topic to grasp hold of. I mean, a Sunday comes, and you know, we openly walk out of our homes with our Bibles, we get in our vehicles, we drive directly to the church using the same route every week. We park in the church parking lot, we go in for Sunday school, morning service, we have fellowship with others, we get back in our car, drive home, walk into our home, still carrying our Bibles without taking thought as we go through the same routine until the next time our church meets. But that's not the norm for believers in many parts of the world, is it?
It's not the norm. And you know, Paul in 2 Timothy writes, you know, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will endure persecution. That's not a verse that we hear preached often in our American churches because it's not our experience.
Mm-hmm.
But like you say, there are so many countries, 70 plus countries around the world, where Christians who do what you just described, they gather with other believers for worship. They carry their Bibles. They read and study their Bibles. They share their faith with other people. For doing exactly the things that we do freely, they lose their jobs, they get kicked out of their families, they go to jail, and sometimes they are even killed for following Jesus Christ in places where persecution is common.
And as we focus in here on this International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, when that is happening, when this persecution is taking place, we'll talk about some types of persecution that are going on. There is a common prayer request that comes from their lips. What is that?
It is pray for us. Pray for us. And when we go and meet with persecuted Christians, we often ask them, okay, we're going back to America. We're going to talk to Christians. I'm going to talk to Christians on the radio. VOM is going to talk to Christians at our VOM Advanced conferences. What can they do to help you? The first answer to that question, every time we ask it, is pray for us. And the challenging thing to me, and I think convicting, frankly, is their request is not pray that we won't suffer anymore, pray that we won't be persecuted anymore. It is pray that we'll be faithful in spite of the persecution, in spite of the suffering. Pray that we'll still continue to serve God in spite of what we lose in the earthly perspective by doing it. I think that's a pretty convicting prayer request, and the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church coming up Sunday is a key time for churches all across the country, literally thousands of churches, to answer the number one request of our persecuted family, which is for us to pray for them.
And as a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, this is not a one-day matter. It is something, though, to spark us toward regular prayer for the persecuted church. But what a great opportunity here, Todd, to really heighten awareness, to bring it to the forefront again for people to understand what many brothers and sisters in Christ are going through.
It is a key time, and like you say, my one fear or the one danger of the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church is that we as American Christians or we as leaders in our churches, we sort of check it off our list and say, okay, we're done. We prayed for them. Yay, we'll see you next November. Christians are persecuted every day of the year. And so we do want this to be a day where we all come together and we all pray together. But boy, we hope people pray throughout the year because our brothers and sisters need our prayer all through the year.
You have produced a video that is really focusing in on the nation of North Korea. Before we talk about the video itself, tell us the conditions in North Korea right now. It's said to be perhaps the most closed country in the world.
It is. I think it's beyond question the most closed country in the world as far as the gospel goes. I tell people North Korea is a prison camp disguised as a country, and everyone in North Korea is oppressed, but Christians are singled out for the very worst oppression, and the reason for that is very clear. The North Korean government is built on the idea that the Kim family, the leaders, the dynasty there that is leading the regime, they are presented as divine beings. And in fact, children in kindergarten are taught, when you sit down to a meal, you say, thank you, Father Kim Il-sung, for our food.
My.
So when you come along and say, well, I don't follow the Kims, I follow Jesus Christ, it's not just a matter of, hey, we don't do that here, or hey, that's a foreign religion. It's treason. It undermines the veracity of the North Korean regime, because if Jesus Christ is God, then Kim Jong-il is not God. Kim Jong-un is not God. And so they have to respond with violence. They have to control that message from spreading because it literally cuts off the root of the regime in North Korea. That's why the persecution is so intense there.
As a matter of fact, you have produced a very compelling video on your website. And, folks, I'd like you to get a pen, sheet of paper out, because we're going to give this website often, especially as the highlights of this coming Sunday for International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. But to jot down a website, and the website is persecution.com/IDOP for International Day of Prayer. That's for the Persecuted Church. persecution.com/IDOP. But Todd, you've got a very compelling video on this site here pertaining to North Korea and Pastor Han. So this is something our listeners can download. Pastors listening right now can download this. They can show it in their churches this Sunday. But tell us the story of Pastor Han.
Well, Pastor Han is a hero. He's a hero of the Christian faith. He is a martyr for Christ. Pastor Han was an ethnic Korean, but he was a Chinese citizen, and he was actually the pastor of a three-self church, one of the registered churches in China right along the North Korea border. And as a pastor, as a Christian, when North Koreans came across that border, they were hungry, they needed clothing, they needed food, they needed shelter, and he, in the name of Jesus, reached out and answered those requests. And he said, yes, I can help you find a place to stay. Yes, I can help you find clothes. Let me also tell you about Jesus Christ. And he had an amazing, effective ministry of reaching North Koreans with the gospel. Some of those North Koreans, after hearing the gospel, now, they had just escaped from North Korea. They had just come across the river to relative freedom in China. But they chose to go back and carry that gospel message back into North Korea. Pastor Han was seen as an enemy of the state by the North Koreans. He is helping North Korean refugees. He's helping to share the gospel. He's helping to send the gospel back into North Korea. Because of that, he was seen as an enemy of the state. In 2016, he was assassinated. He was murdered by a team of assassins that came across that river. Now, again, these are North Korean agents coming across into Chinese territory to kill Pastor Han. When they went back to North Korea, they were celebrated as heroes. In fact, on national television, they were celebrated as heroes of the fatherland because they had killed this so-called terrorist. But it was actually a Christian pastor, a man who was simply helping North Korean refugees. We share that story, and we share the story through the eyes of one of his disciples in the video for the International Day of Prayer this year. And like you said, it's on the website. It is downloadable. It's free. show it in your Sunday school class, show it in your church on Sunday, to help us understand who we're praying for on this International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church.
Persecution.com/IDOP. But as a result of Pastor Han being martyred for his faith, what has happened?
Well, Pastor Han had an amazing ministry, but his ministry has continued on. The Lord has used his sacrifice to call people to service, to call people to pray, and we believe, you know, as people see this video and as people pray for North Korea, that is going to be a continuation of his legacy, leaving an impact and making an impact on that country.
We know North Korea, as I mentioned earlier, has just been extremely volatile to be a Christian there, yet Voice of the Martyrs is able to minister. What are you free to share with our listeners?
Well, I cannot share a lot of what we are doing inside the country because that would put people at risk, but we are doing some really cool things outside the country, getting the message inside. One of those, and one that people love, is balloons. We actually float balloons up into the air when the wind is blowing the right direction. They float across into North Korea. Those balloons can carry gospel tracts. They can also carry entire New Testaments, and we equip the balloons with GPS technology so that we can actually tell where did it land, where did the New Testament come down. We know this is effective because we have heard reports that the North Korean military is mobilized to find and destroy these balloons when they come down. They are so concerned about these gospel tracts getting in there. They're so concerned about these balloons. They literally mobilize military units to destroy them. The second way that we're getting the gospel in is through radio broadcasts, and one of the broadcasts that we support is simply someone reading the scriptures very slowly and deliberately so that people inside North Korea can be writing down what they're hearing. And the average North Korean is probably never going to see a Bible in their lifetime, but by simply having a gospel broadcast that is reading the scripture slowly so people can write it down, for many North Koreans, that's the only chance they'll ever have to have the scripture, have a copy of the scriptures of their very own. We know these broadcasts are effective as well because the North Korean government has repeatedly tried to jam our signal. And so it's kind of a cat and mouse game. We'll move the signal up a few degrees or down a few degrees and they'll jam that, and then we'll shift it again and they'll shift the jamming. And so, again, we know it's effective because they are responding. We've actually been threatened in North Korean media because of our work getting the gospel into that country. So that's somewhat of a mark of honor, but I think it's a demonstration. It must be effective because clearly the regime is worried about it.
Friends, how precious is the Word of God to you? I mean, here without Bibles, they sit by their radio to listen and to transcribe the words that they hear so they have God's written word to man. What is the penalty for them, Todd, if they would be caught with this?
If you're caught with a Bible, you're going to go to a labor camp, and you probably will not survive that labor camp. But not only you, your parents and your children are also going to go because they want to completely eradicate what they would call the stain of Christianity. So they take three generations to make sure they can get rid of the message.
Todd Nettleton with us here today from Voice of the Martyrs. Again, folks, the website, persecution.com/IDOP. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, did the Ice Age really happen?
Yes, indeed, Chris. There's a great deal of evidence that the Ice Age really happened. It wasn't long ago. It was at the end of Noah's flood. It probably took several hundred years for the Earth to settle back down into the equilibrium we now experience. That readjustment period was primarily the Ice Age. The real key for the Ice Age is more evaporation from the ocean waters, making huge storms of snowfall possible. But the continents were cold, making the storms violent and prolonged. Also, late in the flood was a time of great volcanism, meaning that the Earth's atmosphere was cloudy and shielded the Earth from the sun. So there was more snowfall, less snow melt, and the ice built up. This would have happened in the centuries following the flood. And that's the flood mentioned back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This coming Lord's Day is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. That's our emphasis today, and we encourage you to do this in your church, just to bring it to the awareness of the people in your church, not as a one-day event, but certainly to spark that reminder in us, and certainly to cause us to remember those who are being persecuted on account of their faith. Todd Nettleton is with us here today from Voice of the Martyrs, and one of the things I was thinking of about this balloon launch that you have going into North Korea is that, as even the Apostle Paul talked about how he was bound, but the Word of God is not bound, and what a graphic picture we have here with those balloons going with copies of the Scriptures to people in North Korea.
It is a great image, and I would encourage people to pray for that, because there's a lot of different factors that play into that balloon launching program. One of them is obviously the weather. The wind has to be blowing the right direction to take the balloons over North Korea. But another significant issue is the South Korean government. The North Korean government hates these balloons, and they put pressure on the South Korean government. Hey, how can you let these groups launch balloons like this? How can you let this happen? They're sending propaganda into our country. You've got to stop it. And so the South Koreans have actually, some at different times, put pressure to say, hey, no more balloon launches, or hey, not this month. Let's hold off. We don't want to have any trouble this month. And so there's a lot of different factors that play into that project, and I would encourage people, pray for the success, pray for the ability to launch more New Testaments and more gospel tracts into the country of North Korea.
Is there a way our listeners can help with that?
You certainly can. We have what we call sponsoring Bibles, sponsoring the delivery of Bibles through Voice of the Martyrs. There's ways to give online to do that at persecution.com. But all of these projects are funded by donors, people who believe in the work of VOM, people who want to stand with persecuted Christians, and the Bible launches into North Korea is just one of the projects that come out of those donations.
Let's move now to Malaysia, and tell us the story of Raymond Koh, if you would.
This is a personal story for me, because I had the chance earlier this year to interview Raymond's wife, Susanna. Raymond Koh is a pastor in Malaysia. 2.5 years ago, February of 2017, he was kidnapped off the streets of Malaysia. So 2.5 years have gone by. He has not been seen or heard from since then. His car has never been found. He has never been discovered. Nobody is clear what happened to him that day. We launched just about 2 weeks ago a petition drive to ask the Malaysian government to explain what happened to Raymond Koh. The Human Rights Commission there in Malaysia has done a study of this case. They have said this kidnapping was carried out by the police, by the special branch or the intelligence police there. But again, nobody is sure what happened to Raymond Koh or where he is, and nobody's been charged with a crime or held accountable for this kidnapping. And so Susanna has asked us, let's try to bring attention, let's try to bring some pressure to bear. That petition is at releaseraymond.com, and I know you mentioned people need a pencil to jot down these things, releaseraymond.com. You can actually watch security video of the kidnapping itself. This is a high-speed military operation, a total of 5 vehicles, 13 men, less than 45 seconds to make this pastor disappear, and he's never been seen since. And, you know, when I was with Susanna and I asked her, I said, you know, what is the hardest part of all of this? And she said, the hardest part is not knowing. We don't know if Raymond is alive or dead. We don't know if he's sick or well. We don't know if he's in prison or being held hostage somewhere. We simply don't know, and that's the hardest part. We're hoping through releaseraymond.com that we can get the Malaysian government to give some explanation, and hopefully to release Raymond, to return him home to his family, but for sure to say what happened to him and explain where he is or what happened.
Okay, now this is a petition. Our listeners can go online right now at this very moment. They can go to this site and sign this petition.
That's exactly right, and we are going to deliver the petition to the Malaysian Embassy in Washington, D.C. Now, we've been going for 2 weeks, and we got 35,000 signatures, so we're off to a great start, But our hope is to get to 100,000 so that when we sit down with the embassy, we're going to say, listen, there's 100,000 Christians around the world that are concerned about Raymond Koh that want to know what happened to him, and hopefully they will provide some information. Now, there's some political things that play into this. The government of Malaysia has changed hands since 2017, since this kidnapping. So the current government doesn't necessarily have an obligation to cover up or to hide what happened, because they weren't in charge when this happened. So hopefully, with enough signatures, with enough pressure from outside, we can get them to explain what happened to Raymond Koh. And again, I hope he is still alive. I hope he will be restored to his family. But if he's not still alive, I hope the family can be told that and given an explanation so that they will have some closure and have some knowledge of what happened to Raymond Koh.
Friends, put yourself in the situation. Your husband all of a sudden missing. Matter of fact, they're calling this a forced disappearance. Go to the website. You can sign up now. Wouldn't it be great if thousands and thousands of Crosstalk listeners would go to the site, releaseraymond.com, releaseraymond.com. And Todd, as you put pressure upon government, they don't like the public, you know, the spotlight of the public coming down on things like this.
No, they don't. And they have expressed some unhappiness. In fact, I received a note just a week or so ago from Susanna that the police had called her back in again to allegedly to sort of update her on the investigation. But what actually happened when they called her in was they started to interrogate her. You know, what work was your husband doing with Muslims? Was he sharing the gospel with Muslims? What work are you doing? And so instead of trying to find out what happened to Raymond, this investigation, the times that she's been called in, has been an investigation of her and of their Christian work, not an investigation of the kidnapping. They, like you say, they don't want this pressure. They don't want the world to know what happened. But we are gathering signatures of people who really want to know, and hopefully that will change their attitude.
ReleaseRaymond.com. ReleaseRaymond.com is that website, folks, and encourage you to jot it down and to go to that site as well to put further pressure on the Malaysian government in that regard. Is there a response within the Trump administration with Sam Brownback or others that are sympathetic toward these issues?
There has been some response. In fact, Susanna attended the Ministerial on Religious Freedom that was held in Washington, D.C. I know she met with some of the officials of the State Department and some of our government officials. So they're trying to do their part to bring pressure. But again, this number of signatures helps them do that because they can say, hey, look, our voters care about this. The people who put us in office, they're concerned about Raymond Koh. Because they're concerned, we better be concerned too, because we work for them. They're our bosses. But yes, there has been some response and some inquiries, and we are so thankful when our government officials serve as a voice for persecuted Christians like Pastor Raymond Koh.
So folks, again, that's Malaysia. ReleaseRaymond.com is a website, ReleaseRaymond.com. Todd, let's move on to China. There's a lot of persecution taking place there as well. I've been seeing stories coming out about churches being demolished. Tell us what's going on in China.
Well, as you said, in the last month, there have been two significant churches that in one case held 3,000 worshipers. So this is not a small shed where people gather. This is a large church building torn down by the government. And again, it is a registered church. Now, what we used to hear about China 10, 15 years ago was, well, you know, it's the house churches that are persecuted. And if they would just register with the government, they wouldn't have trouble like this.
Yeah.
But this was a registered church that was torn down. Two of the pastors were arrested by the government. This wave of persecution really reached a peak early last year when the communist government passed new regulations on religion in China. They want to control the hearts and minds of the people. They see very clearly that hearts and minds that are controlled by Jesus Christ will not be controlled by the Communist Party. And so as the church grows, they see that as a direct threat. a direct influence against what they're trying to do, controlling the hearts and minds of the people. And so because of that, they are closing down churches. They're tearing down church buildings. They are arresting pastors. There is a pastor named Wang Yi who was arrested last December. His trial has not happened yet. We are anticipating sometime soon, hopefully before the one-year mark of his arrest. So hopefully in the next 2 months, he will have a trial. But even that, you know, it's not a trial like we think of a trial, where they're looking for the facts. In fact, Wang Yi had, before his arrest, made very clear, hey, if I ever get arrested, and I probably will, these are the lawyers, these are the attorneys that I want to represent me. The government has rejected his hand-picked attorneys and said, no, we'll choose attorneys for you.
Wow.
So that sends a pretty clear message about how the trial is going to go and what hope there is for justice. But Pastor Wang Yi had actually written a letter to his congregants and really to the body of Christ worldwide before his arrest, and he said, release this publicly when I am arrested. And it very clearly shows that he had counted the cost. He knew this was a possibility. He was willing to go to prison and even to give his life for the cause of Christ. So this is not a surprise to him, this wave of persecution. But he certainly is one of the people that we hope you will be praying for this coming Sunday on the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church.
Okay, and what is the state? So we've got many people from congregations who've seen their churches being demolished. Is this causing the believers to dry up in their faith, or is the church flourishing?
The church is flourishing, but it's paying a price. And one of the things that's happening is the government is watching everybody. We have heard from our contacts that by the end of 2020, they hope to have 600 million surveillance cameras active in China. Their goal is to have the technology in place to be able to locate and identify anybody on Chinese soil within 3 seconds.
Wow.
So if you're a church member, if you're trying to deliver Bibles that are illegal, if you're trying to gather with other Christians, just think about how hard that is in a country with 600 million surveillance cameras. So the Christians there are aware of this. In fact, I had a chance to interview a house church pastor for our podcast just a few weeks ago, and I asked him about that. I said, you know the government is watching, so what do you do? He said, well, we live out the gospel. And he said one of the things that he has challenged the men in his church, he said, don't let there be a gap between what you say in church on Sunday and how you live in your house the other 6 days of the week, because the government is watching. Let's show them that the gospel is real and that it changes us, not on just on Sunday mornings when we're together. It changes us 7 days a week. Let's live that out because the government is watching. And I thought, what a great response to being put under surveillance. Hey, somebody is surveilling me. I'm going to live out the gospel so that they see it.
Friends, we're talking today with Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs, and we're discussing the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. Again, go to the website persecution.com/IDOP. You'll find materials there. You'll find a video there. You can show this coming Lord's Day. You can find ample items there to inform your people in your church on this issue. We're going to take a little bit more time on the other side of the break to talk about a couple other countries encouraging fervent prayer for the persecuted church, even as this Sunday comes and as this Sunday goes, that will continue in prayer for the persecuted church. Back in just a minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
The Bible says that life is but a vapor that's here for a short time and then vanishes away. Scripture also says, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Have you ever wondered what happens when you die? In the book, What Happens After Life, author Ron Rose provides a survey of the Bible's teachings about the afterlife. He tracks the destiny for those who know Christ as Savior and the destiny for unbelievers. He addresses numerous topics, such as the immediate state after death, believers and the judgment seat of Christ, unbelievers and the great white throne judgment, the new heavens and a new earth, the new Jerusalem, and so much more. He even tackles the question of what happens to infants, young children, and those mentally disabled as it relates to eternity. What Happens After Life is available for a donation of $15 or more by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Praying for the Persecuted Church, our topic today here in Crosstalk. Todd Nettleton with us from Voice of the Martyrs. Todd, before we continue on, let's again get your website out. You actually have resources that can be downloaded, right? Like bulletin inserts and things like that?
Absolutely. We have resources. We mentioned the video about Pastor Han. That's downloadable, as well as bulletin inserts. We have PowerPoint slides that have specific prayer requests on them. So if you want to, you know, kind of have a guided prayer time on Sunday, we have slides to help you do that. And these are available digitally, downloadable, so people can access them quickly over the Internet.
Okay, again, persecution.com/IDOP. Many will recognize the name of Pastor Andrew Brunson, and wow, what an answer to prayer happened in his life as people went to prayer.
Absolutely. Andrew Brunson, the American pastor who was held in Turkey for 2 years, charged with all sorts of things. The Turkish press actually reported at one time that he was the top CIA man in the Middle East, and that if the coup in Turkey had been successful, which supposedly Andrew Brunson was running this whole coup attempt, if that had been successful, he was going to get promoted and he would be the director of the CIA.
Wow.
That was what was reported in the Turkish press. That's what was going on, what they thought. Obviously, Andrew Brunson, a pastor, he's lived in Turkey for 23 years at that point in time. And I had the chance to interview him for our VOM Radio podcast, and he is incredibly honest about how hard those 2 years in prison were. You know, we often think of persecuted Christian stories as just, you know, from victory unto victory. They wake up every morning singing hymns, and they go to bed at night, you know, and sleep soundly because the presence of God is just right there with them. Andrew had many months where he didn't experience that, and he talks about literally every day fighting for his faith and fighting to say, listen, God, even if you leave me in prison forever, I'm still going to trust you. I still love you. I'm so blessed because I think we can be encouraged, because I know when I think about myself being in prison, I think, wow, I just don't know if I can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew says, I couldn't handle it. He says it broke me, but he says God was faithful to me and God has rebuilt me. And even in prison, God rebuilt my faith as I just kept deciding. And one of the things he talks about that I think is so important and such a good lesson for us is, I decided. It was an act of the will. I don't feel happy about the situation, but I'm going to rejoice in the Lord, because the Bible says rejoice in the Lord.
Yeah.
I don't sense that God is here with me or God is speaking to me, but I believe, I decided, I'm going to hold on to that truth that the Bible says he is with me. And so just that intellectual act of the will to say, I'm going to hang on to my faith, even if I don't feel it, even if things aren't going well, even if God doesn't seem to be answering my prayers or even hearing my prayers, I'm still going to believe, I'm still going to have faith. I think that's a great example for us when we go through hard times.
Yep.
And even when we're not going through hard times, sometimes we just need to set our will and say, God, I'm going to hang on to you no matter what.
Well, what's interesting is I learned is that the founder of Voice of the Martyrs, Richard Wurmbrand, his books actually, in testimony, actually inspired him while he was being held captive.
It is one of the great blessings. We had Andrew come, and he shared in chapel here with our staff, and he said on the wall of his prison cell was a picture of his family, and beside that was a picture of Richard Wurmbrand. Richard Wurmbrand, for those who don't know, is the founder of the Voice of the Martyrs, a man who spent 14 years in prison in communist Romania, has written numerous books, and Andrew read some of those books. And one of the things that Richard inspired him to do, it's kind of funny, is to dance in his prison cell.
Mm.
And Richard said, you know, the God, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. When you are persecuted, rejoice, consider it all joy. And so Richard would dance as an act of obedience. I don't feel joy, but I'm going to dance as if I'm joyful. Andrew really was inspired by that and really picked up on that and said, you know what? I don't feel joyful, but I'm going to dance as an act of obedience, as an act of the will. And so that was one of the ways that Richard Wurmbrand, the founder of Voice of the Martyrs, inspired Andrew Brunson. And now Andrew Brunson has written a book, and who knows the people that he will inspire and how that story will be carried forward.
Incidentally, that book is called God's Hostage. Let's move on to Iran here, Todd. There's a lot that's been happening in Iran. I know of an individual who actually broadcasts here in the States in Persian, reaching fellow countrymen in this regard. The church is on the grow there.
The church is growing very rapidly, and there is a great hunger for the gospel. This is one of the great stories of God's working, and I think of, the story of Joseph. What you intended for evil, God intended for good. I have heard multiple Iranian Christians that tell me the greatest missionary in the history of Iran is the Ayatollah Khomeini. And we hear that and we say, well, how could that possibly be? Well, Ayatollah Khomeini took charge of Iran, and he said, we're going to do everything according to the Islamic teaching. We're going to do everything according to the Quran. We're going to run our country exactly how Muhammad would run it if he was here today. 40 years later, the people look at their country, and it's broken. They look at their government, and it doesn't work. There's corruption. There's a lack of interest in the needs of the people. And they say, wait a minute. If we're doing everything according to the Islamic way, and our government is not working, then Islam must not work. So what else is out there? So that Khomeini missionary has made people interested in the gospel by showing the true face of Islam. Now, there is a lot of hardship going on right now for everybody in Iran. The economic sanctions are biting the people of Iran. I've been told, I talked just a couple weeks ago with a Christian who lives in Iran. He said, a bag of fruit that a year ago cost $2 is now $20. So in 1 year, it is 10 times. He said, when you think about somebody trying to rent an apartment, it is now almost impossible to afford to rent an apartment. And so that is biting everybody, and that's affecting how the Christians are able to work, how they're able to evangelize. There is not a level of trust. If someone just comes up and starts talking to you, you kind of wonder what their motives are. So they have to build relationships. They have to build trust in order to have opportunities to share the gospel. But Iranians are hungry. Something like 70% of Iranians have rejected Islam in their hearts and in their minds. So they are available. They're open to hear the gospel because they don't believe Islam works. And so the message of Christ and the love of Christ reaches into those hearts that are hungry for something that's real and something they can really believe in.
By the way, listeners, our phone number to Crosstalk here, 800-733-9829. If you have a question on this topic here today pertaining to praying for the persecuted church or persecution, give us a call, 800-733-9829. We've got more info, though, we want to pass on. Let's go to India here. Todd, tell us what's happening.
Well, India is another country where persecution is increasing, and the Prime Minister there, Prime Minister Modi, is from a Hindu nationalist background. His government leaders believe that India is a Hindu country, and 100% of Indians should be Hindus. So if you're a Muslim, if you're a Christian, you don't belong here. You should either become a Hindu or you should leave the country. So when persecution happens of Christians, the government is not going to hold the persecutors accountable. In fact, we've heard multiple stories where a pastor is being beaten by a mob of radical Hindus, and the police show up, and, the pastor's just been being beaten. The police get there, and they arrest the pastor. And you're like, well, why would they arrest the guy who's being beaten? They accuse the pastor of creating what they call communal disharmony by being a follower of Jesus Christ. That's one example of what persecution looks like in India. And again, the government just says, well, we are a Hindu nation. You should be a Hindu. If you were a Hindu, you wouldn't have these kind of problems. That's what's going on in India. And In the last couple of weeks, we have seen two different Christians killed in India, one of them an evangelist, one of them a woman Christian. And so it's not just pastors being beaten, it's Christians literally laying down their lives for Christ.
Friends, these are issues I trust that burden your heart to pray for the persecuted church. Pray for them. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. You can get resources for this weekend for downloadable purposes, for your church bulletin inserts, PowerPoint slides, this video that we talked about from North Korea, by going to persecution.com/IDOP. But Todd, as we started out early in the broadcast too, we don't want listeners to think this is just a one-day thing. And so at Voice of the Martyrs, you actually put out a monthly magazine to give monthly reminders.
We do. Monthly magazine. Again, persecution.com is our main website. Right at the top of that page, there's a button that says free magazine. If you give us your name and address, we will send that to you. The other thing I would encourage people, we have an app for your phone or your tablet called Pray Today. And every day it pulls up a new prayer request from around the world from our persecuted brothers and sisters. And in fact, you can set a reminder if you want to pray at a certain time every day for persecuted Christians. You can set your phone to remind you and then pull up that request. So again, International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, which is coming up on Sunday, is a very significant, very important day. But we need to be praying all year long. The Pray Today app, the website iCommitToPray.com, those are tools as well as the free monthly magazine to help people pray all year long, not just on the first Sunday of November.
Okay, iCommitToPray.com, and what is the name of the app?
Pray Today, or you can just search for the Voice of the Martyrs in your app store.
Okay, Pray Today or search for Voice of the Martyrs. And friends, we'd like to hear what's on your heart today as it relates to this issue. Has this increased your burden to be praying for the persecuted church? Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829, here today for Crosstalk. And we'd like to hear from you as it relates to this matter of praying for the persecuted church. Todd Nettleton is with us from Voice of the Martyrs. He's Chief of Media Relations and Message Integration, serving over a couple decades with them, and certainly heightening awareness. Todd, you said that the number one prayer item they say to you is pray for us. What else do they say?
Well, you know, the interesting thing to me is the prayer for them to be faithful. The other thing that we can pray, and I think this is scriptural, is to pray for the persecutors. We need to not just pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters, but also pray for the ones who are persecuting them and pray for opportunities to witness. I'll never forget interviewing Bob Fu, who's a former prisoner for Christ in China. He's now the president and the founder of the China Aid Association. And I asked Bob, you know, Bob, before you went to prison in China, how did you pray for your fellow Christians who were in prison? He said, well, I prayed that they would get out, that God would release them. And then Bob went to prison himself, and he had opportunities to be a witness. He actually led some of his cellmates to faith in Christ. And I said, Bob, how do you pray for Christians in prison now? And he said, well, I pray that God will give them opportunities to do ministry, opportunities to witness for him, and that when those opportunities are completed, then God will release them and allow them to return to their families. I thought that's a pretty insightful prayer request. So as we're praying, not just for safety, not just for release, but also for ministry opportunities in the midst of persecution.
Folks, get online. Our number, 800-733-9829. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Many people today are pushing what's called Christian Palestinianism. They're anti-Jewish. They're anti-Zionist. They're declaring that, Israel is the new Nazi state, that they're involved in atrocities and genocide, and they're the new apartheid state and racism. Many neo-Calvinists and neo-evangelicals are pushing this,
and they're helping Hamas. And I call it Hamasianity. Christians helping Hamas. How? By making enemies of the Jews. Number two, making enemies of righteous Gentiles who defend Israel and their right to the land legally and divinely. Three, they're stopping Christians from speaking up for the Jews. Four, they're giving validity to Hamas. Five, they're opening the door to interfaith dialogue. Six, helping build a false religious system that persecutes righteous Gentiles and Jews. Seven, convincing more Americans to vote for Islamic candidates that will lead to Sharia in America and America turning its back against Israel. Be very aware of Hamasianity. I'm Brandon House.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Let me give you these websites again, folks. Write them down, please. Persecution.com/IDOP. International Day of Prayer. That'll help you remember that. Persecution.com/IDOP. And then the other is ReleaseRaymond.com. ReleaseRaymond.com. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Have some open lines. Folks, has your heart been pricked today? Let's go to Nancy in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Nancy.
Hi. I was wondering if the Nubians are still being bombed daily.
The Nubians?
Yes. I've read that they were bombed pretty much daily, and they were hoping with the new government that it wouldn't happen so often or not at all.
The bombing in the Nuba Mountains is much less than it was. In fact, there were some... credit, I believe, goes to President Trump. There was a belief that he was not going to put up with that, and so the bombing has slackened off. And again, with the new government in Sudan, there are a lot of political challenges right now. They're a little less worried about the Nuba Mountains than the previous government was. So there are still a lot of needs in the Nuba Mountains, but the bombing is less than it was previously.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Appreciate your call. 800-733-9829. Todd, what are some of the ways that Voice of the Martyrs is ministering to the persecuted church worldwide?
We divide up our overseas ministry into three categories. One is persecution response, which is basically helping those who are directly being persecuted. Maybe it's providing rent money or school fees for the family of a pastor who's in prison for their faith. Maybe it's providing medical care for someone who's been injured in a persecution instance. So persecution response is one way. The second way is Bibles. Each year we deliver over 1 million Bibles into the 70-plus countries where Christians are persecuted, including, as we talked about earlier, North Korea. Yes, that is one of the countries where we are able to deliver Bibles. Then the third area is what we call frontline workers or frontline ministry. I like to call them pre-persecuted Christians. These are people who are spreading the gospel. They are church planting. They are doing evangelism in a country where Christians are persecuted, so they are likely at some point to face persecution themselves. And for them, we provide tools and training and encouragement. One of the great things that we do in several of the countries where we work is hold conferences for pastors to come together. And a lot of times these pastors are working in very difficult circumstances. They may be the only pastor in their particular town. And so, yes, it's great that they come together and they get some training and we give them some tools to use in their ministry. But one of the most significant things that happens is they meet fellow pastors, they build relationships, they become prayer partners, they pray for each other and encourage each other, and they realize, I'm not alone in this ministry. Yes, I'm the only Christian in my city. I'm the only pastor in my city, but I'm not alone in the ministry. There are the body of Christ, not only around the world, but people in my country who are my friends and my coworkers, and they are standing with me. So that is a part of our frontline ministry as well, just encouraging people to keep on in their work in very, very difficult circumstances.
We have Alice calling in from Arkansas. Alice, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I truly do feel a burden for the persecuted church. Being a born-again Christian, I want to obey the Word of God, and we've been told to pray, I believe, as though we were in bondage with them. If I were in bonds, I would want someone praying for me 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
it would take the grace of God to endure that. And yes, yes, I would like to know, I've even asked my dear husband, I am blind, and so I've asked him, would you copy down at least the first 20 countries that are enduring such awful persecution? Because I thought, well, I could sit here and go through each hand twice, and then I would have 20 countries. Is there any way I can find that out?
A listing of countries where Christians are persecuted?
Yes, at least the first 20. As I say, I'm blind, and so I just have to sit
right
here.
Yes, there is certainly a way for your husband to look on our website. We actually do a prayer map that shows visually all the different places where Christians are persecuted, and he could certainly jot down the countries off of that map.
That would be wonderful. You know, when I do pray for the persecuted church, I know that the Lord has said he would give great grace. His grace is sufficient. But I always start with not only the persecuted church, but the church. Spiritual victory first, and then the other needs that they might have, because I would want to be spiritually faithful.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Alice. Alice from Arkansas, and again, the website there is persecution.com, and prayer itself being such a powerful tool. It's a powerful weapon that we have. You see in Ephesians 6, it is the offensive weapon that we have, certainly in the battle, the spiritual battle in which we are in today. Again, that's persecution.com, and the other website here, releaseraymond.com. We have Toledo calling in from Lubbock, Texas. Toledo, you're on the air.
Hello. I've been getting the Martyrs magazine and appreciate it, but I've been getting the articles of the first writer called Jim, and he, you know, the pictures. Have you know about Jim, the writer of the, this is his Jim.
So some of the articles in the VOM magazine?
Yes.
Todd, are you familiar with what she's speaking of?
Well, I think you're probably referring to our former president, Jim, who retired early last year.
Okay.
So he has retired. Our new president's name is Cole Richards, who's been with the ministry about 13 years now.
Great. Thank you, Toledo. We're down to just half a minute. Todd, what would you like to leave with our listeners today?
I would just encourage you, be in prayer for persecuted Christians. This Sunday is a significant day for American Christians, but it's very significant for our persecuted family as well. They know this is a day when they're being prayed for, so be a part of that. Invite your church family, invite your Sunday school class to pray with you as we all join together to pray for our persecuted family this coming Sunday.
Persecution.com/IDOP. You can find many downloadable materials that are there, including a video in that regard, the bulletin inserts, PowerPoint slides, and also the website to that's devoted to the release of Raymond Coe, or at least to find out what's happening with him. That's releaseraymond.com. Todd, thank you so much for your work and for sparking us for renewed interest and desire to be praying for the persecuted church.
You are welcome. Thanks for having me.
Todd Nettleton with us here today. Folks, check out their information, persecution.com. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.